years and years. And so I've been teaching the last week or two on evolution. I'm going to finish the message last week that I started. So last week I went a little over. This week I'm going to go a little under, but it is the last point in that particular message. But I have a three or four missionary letters that I want to share, and we can always spend a little more time in prayer. So I won't be that long. Anyway, we can all quote Genesis 1:1, can't we? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now that verse is not a difficult verse. Last week when I was teaching a lesson on the evils of evolution and what it leads to, and we talked about PETA, you know, several people that I talked to, they really didn't realize that PETA was that bad of an organization. That is a very, very dangerous and bad organization because they make animals more important than God because to them, we do greater damage to the earth than animals do. And so more than one of them believed that if we could eliminate human beings from off of the earth would be a lot better place. So we're not anything special. And then I mentioned that evolution was degrading. I said it's degrading to humanity. Do you realize if what they believe is true, then we are just, we're nothing, which is very degrading to us. I've often wondered, when they go to a funeral, if they cry or not, if they say, well, this is a good thing, one less human is on the earth. I mean, how do they operate? I mean, come on. Then I thought about, I did think about that. I also noted that it's degrading to humanity. We're nothing. It's also, I said, hostile to reason because nothing plus nothing to them equals everything, which just doesn't make any sense. So the third point of my lesson is this. Evolution totally denies the truth that God has revealed. Now you think about the song you just sang, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You wouldn't even be able to sing that song. You'd have to throw that song. In fact, matter of fact, you'd have to throw your whole hymn book away. You'd have to throw the Bible away because it denies the truth that God has revealed. So God's word simply says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You all just said that. It would be difficult to state the answers where man came from any more directly and any more simply than what is said in that one verse of Scripture. The words of Genesis 1:1, they are precise, they are concise, you can't miss the interpretation, but yet everybody denies it. And that's why we read Romans chapter 1 this evening. They answer, you know what Genesis 1:1 does? It answers every question that evolution can't answer. It answers every one of them. Henry Morris, and he's one of the guys that we get a little research from, but he wrote this. He said, Genesis 1:1 is unique in all literature, science, and philosophy. Every other system of the study of the earth, cosmos something, whether in ancient religion myths or modern scientific models, start with eternal matter or energy in some form, from which other entities were supposedly gradually derived by some process, a process. He said, but only the book of Genesis even attempts to account for the ultimate origin of matter, space, time, and it does so uniquely in terms of special creation. Now, many evolutionists, and I do need to mention this, they have no place for anything spiritual at all, nowhere. They don't believe in it, although some do, but many don't. Because, see, there's no sin. It's okay to walk all over each other. It's survival of the fittest. Why wouldn't it be? Yet from one verse of Scripture, that one in Genesis, you either believe God created the heavens and the earth, or you believe he didn't. Now, you say, Pastor, why do you keep telling? We all know this. Because we need to be witnessing to people this way. I'm going to quote Dr. Schaefer here in a little while. Some of you know Francis Schaefer or did know him. If he did not, from what is one verse, does not, if God does not exist, do you realize that nothing has any purpose? You have no purpose. Nothing has any, nothing makes any sense. We're just nothing. If on the other hand, if there is a creative intelligence, if there is a God, then creation is understandable. It's possible, it's plausible, and it's rational. Ultimately, those are the two options all of us are faced with. Either we see what we see reflects the awesome wisdom and power of a personal God, I hope that's what you believe. I trust that's what you believe, especially who God has revealed himself in the scriptures, or all the marvels that you see somehow just evolve spontaneously from one little thing which no one can explain where they came from, and no real sense can be made out of anything. Actually, and I did mention this a moment ago, among the best scientists who left their mark on the scientific world, those who thought honestly and made honest confessions about origins will admit that there must be a creative intelligence. Even Einstein believed the cosmic intelligence must have designed the universe, although, like many who accept an intelligent design, he avoided the obvious. Conductive that if there is a cosmic intelligence powerful enough to design and create the universe, that the intelligence is by definition the Lord God of all. And so they won't go that far. They seem like they can't go that far. There are many men who in the scientific world who do embrace the God of Scripture and the biblical account of creation. But I need to say that. We believe God did create the heavens and the earth. And them are your only two options. Either he did or he didn't. You need to pound this stuff into your kids' heads. They need to get as rock solid on this as they do anything. Because if they are swayed here, they can be swayed anywhere else. I don't think you can teach these to your children enough. If the God of the Bible did not create the heavens and the earth, then we have no real answers to anything that is really important. None. Well, those are your two options. If God did, then the universe and everything in it was created by a loving and a personal God, and his purposes are clearly revealed to you and I in the scriptures. So we have these two options. If the Genesis account is true, we bear the image of God. We are loved by him. And then we have dignity, and then we have value, and then we have an obligation to our Creator that goes above and beyond all other creatures. We do. If Genesis is true, we have God's answers to the questions of what we are here for and how we got where we are. But we also have the promise of salvation from sin. But in the other side, there is no sin. It's all good. If Genesis is true, we have God's answers. If it's not, Genesis is not true, then you have no answers. This is where this all goes. Throw out Genesis, throw out the authority of the scriptures, because it's non-existent. If Genesis is untrue, you might as well assume that no God exists after all anyways. So just do away with that. Which is precisely the assumption behind modern evolutionary theory. There is no God. And by the way, my wife and I had dinner the other day with a family, and they have some kids that go to a public school. And so I asked them, the kids, I says, do they teach evolution as a theory or as a fact? And without hesitation, they said, as a fact. It's not a fact. And it's a sad thing, but that's what happens. And that's where we are. But why do people like that? Well, you just read Romans chapter 1. No moral accountability. No moral accountability to any higher being. All morality and all truth become relative, which is where we are. What is true for you is true for you. And what is true for me is true for me. And we're supposed to be good with that. You know what? You can't really live like that. It doesn't even make any sense. But that's where we are. You think about what I preached on Sunday morning. I preached on the will of God last Sunday morning. You know, that sermon would have been a total waste of my time, and you would be foolish to have listened to it if there is no creator. Remember I talked about the moral will of God and the general will of God, which is true for everybody, and it's not what's good for me is good for me, and what's good for you is good for you. Then I talked about the sovereign will of God, that God has a will for everybody and everything. We talked about that for a while. Then I talked about the particular will. Well, if there's no creator, there is no particular will. There is no particular will of God in your life for you. That's where you end up. The facts are, view of creation is the very starting point of our world view. We send missionaries. Why? Why bother? Everything that we do centers in Genesis 1:1. Dr. Schaefer said this. I found this interesting when I first read it. But he said, if he had 1 hour to spend with a sinner, unbelievers, He said, I'd spend the first 55 minutes talking about creation and what it means to bear the image of God. And then he goes, I would take the last five and explain the way of salvation. I've never heard anybody say that before. But you can't get saved if you don't believe that there really is a God. The starting point for Christianity isn't Matthew 1:1. It's Genesis 1:1. Take your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would. Now, let me show you where this is going to go. To tamper with Genesis is to undermine the very foundation of Christianity. If you change the beginning, it changes the rest of the story. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Okay, if Genesis isn't true, what do you do with that? That's not true either, right? If that's not true, then that's not true. Redemptive history ends with the Lord, when the Lord uncreates, I guess you could say, the universe. Now, look at another passage, Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. None of this would even be true. Coming down from God out of heaven, because there would be no God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. But if Genesis 1:1 is not true, then the last verse in the last phrase in verse 5, write these words that are true and faithful. No, they would not be. They wouldn't be true and faithful. There wouldn't be a new Jerusalem. There wouldn't be a new heaven and a new earth. You see where that takes you? Look at Isaiah chapter 65. What do you do with this? Verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come unto mind. Let me just say something. This Genesis 1:1 thing, and I'm going to stop with it tonight and go to a different area, although with creation as well, but it won't be any more on this, is a huge deal. You know, what's that guy that makes the car commercials? He says it's huge. Okay, this is huge, and I mean huge. In all of Christianity, every single thing that we believe depends on, it has to go back to Genesis 1:1. I'm telling you, you need a hammer on this stuff. And by the way, when you're witnessing to somebody, it's not wrong to bring up creation. Talk about how the Lord created all things and we bear the image of God. Dr. Schaefer mentioned that. But that's what's wrong with it? Why not get people to see, look at, you are created in the image of God. Well, I think that's, because there's a lot of people out there that don't believe they were created in the image of God. They don't believe they bear the image of God at all. So I pray you'll teach this, you'll hammer this to your kids. And, of course, you ever teach a kid something, I mean, I'll tell you what, they can go, like, they're bold. They'll just walk around. We were somewhere the other day, and Jamie comes over to me. Dad, you tell this girl what's wrong with Halloween. You need to do that right now. And I said, well, Jamie, her parents aren't even here. And she was going on and on. She's right. You get it in their head now and they'll be bold. But get it in there, ingrain it in them, ingrain it in them, ingrain it in them. Because our world has fallen to pieces, and part of it is we've lost Genesis 1:1 to much of the world. So, Lord, we come to you, and I pray, and I know I've harped on this a little bit, but I pray, Lord, that we would see the danger of it. It's degrading to us. It lacks any kind of reason, and it completely denies the truth that you have revealed in your word. I pray, and I know that most everybody here is solid on this, but I pray that you would help all of us to teach our young people these things and these truths, and not even begin to give any place at all for evolution, theistic evolution, any of that stuff either. And they'll just stand true on the simple, concise statement of the Word of God. In Jesus' holy name, I ask it. Amen. All right, let me share a few missionary letters.